We are the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio. Well, let's just say the 6 o'clock news will never be the same again. The days of Walter Cronkite and three network channels has long passed. Well, journalism has morphed into news, opinion, and ideological rants, all passed off as unbiased, honest news. This is Malcolm Out Loud here. So your search continues for the Out Loud truth. I get it. Well, here it won't be just the news. It'll be how we discuss the news. A drive time show you can count on weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We call it Nozzle. World news, political talk, stories that impact your health. Honor our heroes, stories that'll inspire you. What you'll hear next is the heartbeat of the people. The hottest topics, the news stories that trend. It's time, friends, for a new stream of consciousness. It's Nozzle. All right, so I think a lot of people expected this next story. I think a lot of folks really weren't ever really counting on this summit really coming off or not. Or, you know, I think everybody was a little suspect. After all, we are talking about Kim Jong-un here. And again, history. If history is any indication and you look at history, you kind of know. But this was fascinating today, Betsy and Dave. This is, I think this is Trump again playing the deal to get the best deal he can. So he throws it all in and he cancels the Singapore nuclear summit with Kim Jong-un. And I could just imagine Kim's face. I wish we could got a photograph of that when he heard that. I bet you he had dropped on the floor because I don't think he was expecting this. What do you think, Dave? I don't think he was expecting it.
No, exactly right. He was. It was a remarkable thing because you're seeing Trump use almost the Eastern strategies against the East, you know, that, you know, assume that act as if nothing's important, don't us overcommitted, and, you know, and it's phenomenal.
It really is. It's kind of a chapter out of Sun Tzu, you know, the...
It is out of Sun Tzu, yeah, exactly.
The whole Art of War. I love that book. I love that whole style and series. So not really surprised. Now, the letter is quite... I don't know if you both seen... Betsy, I don't know if you've seen the letter as well.
Oh, yeah.
But I loved it. What, did you like the letter?
I did like the letter because, you know, here's the thing is he says, well, you know, we're going to have to cancel because of your language and it's sad that we'll have to cancel. But thank you so much for releasing the prisoners. And hey, feel free to give me a call or write me a letter. I love that. You know, this truly is the art of the deal.
This is a classic. This letter's going to go down in the museum. You know that, Betsy.
Oh, it better be. It better be in a museum because it's absolutely classic. He just Kim Jong-un. And
he did.
You know, and here's my, I believe Kim Jong-un, you know, he was trying to, you know, he's a little boy who wants to be important.
Yeah.
And Trump just made him way less important while being very polite to him. And, yeah, he's going to come crawling back.
I'm wondering if he called China in advance of this. Do you think China knew? Do you think Xi Jinping knew he was doing this?
Oh, I would think so. I think everybody involved knew. I think he reached out and said, here's what we're going to do. Uh-huh. And they said, okay, Mr. President, go for it.
But in the meantime, a lot's been accomplished with North Korea, guys. I mean... You know, we got the prisoners back. That's amazing, which he mentioned in the letter, as you say, Betsy. And then, but we also, we got them, they had a big celebration, to dismantle their nuclear site, supposedly. This happened yesterday. They invited the media in to do this. I understand it was quite a tour to get there. I was reading somewhere, it was quite a trip the media had to take. You know, I got to tell you, with this guy's history, I got to tell you both in full disclosure, with this guy's history of like at any random moment pulling you in as a prisoner and holding you hostage, I wouldn't have covered that event out there in a lot. I don't trust the guy.
Yeah. Yeah. I would not have been part of the media that went.
Because that's what he does, Betsy. He takes these people and many of these people, and sometimes they're students, as we seen with some that he brutally killed, you know, and others. Mm-hmm. And that he has a history of this. And then, you know, then what happens is you're a hostage in his land. And they put all kinds of pumped up charges on you and everything else. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you're in trouble at that point. And
I don't know. I you know, the fascinating of the media. But listen to what they had to go through, guys. So the travel, if you were a media head and you wanted to be there, these are the international journalists now. So it involved an 11-hour train ride. 11 hours. And then on top of the 11-hour train ride, you had a 4-hour bus journey, 4 hours more for the bus, and then you have to take a hike for another hour.
Jeez.
You had to hike for another hour. Well, that you think we were going to the middle of the woods in North Korea. Dave, what's up with that?
I tell you what, again, this is that hidden kingdom. And you think about the fact that when the famous satellite photos of the illumination of the Earth, and you see this huge darkness that envelops North Korea, and it's really a powerful metaphor for what's going on in that country and has since 1953. And this is the problem you have, is we have a hard time understanding that mindset, and we're confused, like you said. Would you go there with the chance that he might just on a whim capture you? And what is he thinking about in his own version of the art of war? He may think that Sun Tzu should be interpreted the fact that his diplomacy is power, which, you know, Sun Tzu implies. And you hit it right on the head. It's a weird, bizarre way of thinking of the world from us, from our Western perception. And yeah. I think Trump has found a combination, and I don't know how, but he certainly has, to somehow speak to that and let them save face at the same time insulting them. It's amazing.
That is well said, what you say there. Well said, Betsy. The way Dave says, a combination. Very interesting. You're right, with all the various pieces and the kind of put this whole thing on another trajectory. But imagine how far we've come in 6 months, where we were 6 months ago. There was a lot of scare going on, a lot of troubles, you know. He was shooting missiles over Japan, remember? He was threatening Guam. He had other things. I mean, it was pretty wild, right?
Well, and remember, everybody said Trump's going to start a nuclear war, and we need to treat this guy with respect, and et cetera,
et cetera. Rocket Man respect. Rocket Man respect.
Little Rocket Man. Yeah. And now, I predict that you're going to see these two leaders standing side by side next month.
You think it will still happen, Betsy, you're saying?
I believe that it will. Yeah. I think that Kim Jong-un is because remember, he was about to be, he wants to be important.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
He can't be important anymore if he's not going to meet with Donald Trump, who is the leader of the free world.
Yeah.
And we need to never forget that.
He knows it, too. You're right. Kim knows it. Dave, do you think that summit still comes off, buddy? Do you think it still happens?
Yeah, I'm with Betsy. I'm betting that this is all part of a strategy to get him, Kim, to the table without a lot of hubris. Again, it's one of those things that you just when you think, well, boy, Trump blew that, it turns out to be the exact right move, and he checkmates an opponent. So we'll see what happens. I got to tell you what, this has just been a remarkable last couple of years. If you think you can predict what's going to happen next, you need to just put your seatbelt on, because you're about to go for a wild ride.
Yeah, it is. That's really very true. It is a really fascinating ride. And talking to a lot of our experts on the platform here, we've got a lot of intelligence and brilliant analysis from around the globe. And they're saying kind of the same thing you're saying, Dave. It's a real interesting strategy here. And they're actually all applauding Trump for the maneuvers that he has been doing here in walking this tightrope. Because you got to remember, this is a relationship that was really nowhere and had gone nowhere for how many administrations? Forever, as we say here. We got nowhere with this whole relationship, right?
Yep, my whole lifetime. I was born. My dad was with the Marines in Korea when I was born. So, I'm 65, and I'm telling you that we're just now. When you're talking about peace on that peninsula, it's a remarkable moment. Again, when you say the word expert, we may have to redefine that in a couple of years, because so far that's been a real weird adjective on somebody's description, because they're wrong so often. It's just,
well, many of the pundits are out there. Wow. You're right. Yeah. But of course, our people in America are a lot, Betsy. They're not wrong. We have to tell Dave, right?
Well, yeah, that's why we're here.
That's exactly it. We're analysts.
Yeah, we're
wrong. That's it, buddy. We're analyzing real time, real people, real time, real news, real information, real conversation. But I think it's really something else here. And uh, I, I'm very curious, Betsy, if you're going to be right, if you and Dave are right, and if this thing does come off, we'll see. It is part of a bigger strategy. There is no doubt about that. But you have to, again, everybody's got to remember that where this thing was in the last couple of weeks, it started to look very precarious. And Kim started to get really testy. And he started doing this double speak, which you see a lot. He does this a lot, actually, and say, "What do you mean denuclearize the peninsula? You're not going to threaten me with that." Well, that's what the whole damn thing was about, Kim. We're not going to meet to talk about the Canaries. I mean, we're meeting to denuclearize the peninsula. That was the objective there, wasn't it, guys?
Well, yeah, it absolutely was. But
he started to get weird, Betsy. He started to get really weird about that.
He is weird.
Right, he is. Yeah.
Well, you know. One of the things that we need to remember about North Korea is the more of the West that comes to North Korea, the more people may, there's a risk that people will become informed, his people.
Exactly.
And I think the people that handle Kim Jong-un, the generals and whatever the hell they are, right. I think they might be getting a little nervous about him getting more informed and then his people getting
more
informed.
Well, I'll tell you what, Kim is worried about a coup. And that's why he was also worried about going to Singapore. And he's also worried about how to explain the last 50 years of his family and to this horrible regime and what he's done to the people out there. I mean, you're right. And if they start to see there is a blue sky and flowers do grow in the ground and it does, there is a life here, people. That could change the whole thing because they're going to want more than what they've got. They have no life now, very clearly, friends. So anyways, very, very interesting, North Korea. I like that opening conversation we have here. And as we get here at the top of our program today, friends, on Nozzle, a lot of things we want to talk about today since we got Sergeant Betsy Smith here, Dave Smith, and we got the NFL deal. Well, you know I'm all over that one, I got to tell you, and I'm sure they are as well. So definitely talk about this NFL. And again, I got the reaction to share with you what some of the players are saying and coaches and things like that. And it is very interesting, but we need to have that conversation today. Sadly, another big name looks like it's going up in flames. And even my kids were sad hearing this one. Morgan Freeman, the beloved actor. Morgan Freeman has been inappropriate behavior. Hollywood, I don't know anybody sacred out there. It just seems to be it's a matter of time and they all seem to be falling. But some serious charges coming across here today on him. And this is, I mean, this is sadder than sad as far as I can see. I mean, this is a beloved American actor who's done tremendous work. And I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. Another one that may go down in flames. It makes me sick, really. But it seems to be the culture out there as well. Also, we talked yesterday. I want to talk today with Betsy and Dave as well about the MS-13 animals. I want to discuss that and a bit because we had that they had that meeting summit, whatever you want to call it, up in Long Island. The president was there. And it's interesting the way the Pelosi, the minority leader, comes out and calls it divine principle or some damn thing, whatever she called it. Divinity or whatever. I don't know. I just can't follow this lady. I seen a report today that said someone needs to put her out to pasture. She's losing her mind. And that may just be the problem. Maybe she's, you know, physically not able to have a real conversation. I'm not sure. Anyways, let's do a whole lot more to tell you, but we got to get to introductions here at the top of the show here. Again, let's start off here. Sergeant Betsy Smith, we'll start with you. And you've been a co-host on Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Pleasure. You've been absolutely amazing. You've had, like, unbelievable conversation. What a season. What a group of ladies. I haven't had a chance to talk about that. And I want to touch on that today because of the subject matter. We'll talk about that later, Betsy. But you've been a co-host on that show and been a regular here on Nozzle. But tell folks your background, please, in law enforcement.
I was a police officer for 29 years in the Chicago area, and now Dave and I travel around the country, and we train police officers to stay safe and make the right decisions and enjoy their lives.
Yeah. You two are two of the most, when I grow up, I want to be just like you two, actually, so, which will be never when I grow up. That's the key, Dave. But
exactly right.
And also, Betsy's famous husband, Buck Savage, is here. Go ahead, sir.
I tell you what, yeah, like you said, we age, but we don't mature. I'm very proud of that fact.
Exactly. That's where we got to keep it, Dave, right?
Yeah, exactly right. Well, you know, Betsy and I travel the country training law enforcement officers. I've been doing it nationally since 1983. So I guess, I've been on the road a lot my life trying to keep law enforcement officers safe. Yeah. And that's still Betsy and my goal in life. And we try to keep their families safe as well. And we sure love being part of your program.
Well, we love having you, buddy. And, and I take a moment. It just dawns on me right now. And, folks, I got to tell you, we're so proud of our relationships here at America Out Loud with our brothers and sisters in blue and law enforcement. From day one, we set out on a journey here with our United States military and our law enforcement and all of our brothers and sisters out there that serve, first responders, to really bring back respect. And we did this early on from day one. And we've got just an incredible group of friends in this business, such as our dear, dear, beloved brother here, Lieutenant Randy Sutton, Blue Lives Radio. He actually started this all with me. Randy was one of the very first of the three shows in the network when we launched this whole thing. And he's going strong. His program is phenomenal. His conversations are outstanding. He's a stellar human being, I got to tell you, man, Randy Sutton. So also, Dr. Ron Martinelli, Linda Martinelli, amazing people. He's a forensic criminologist. He wrote the book, The War on Cops, about the whole Black Lives Matter movement, redefined Ferguson, everything that had happened there. Amazing people. They have a show on the network now, Talking While Married, which is kind of an odd thing, which you two understand that language as well. Not everybody does, but you guys got that down. So we got a couple of very interesting husband-wife partnerships along with that as well. But anyways, Dr. Ron Martin, incredible people. And Lieutenant Joe Pangaro, Pangaro training, and he's got a show at noontime, Chasing Justice. And so you can see what's happened here in law enforcement. We've become really central to the conversation here, and we are thrilled, absolutely thrilled to have these relationships and proud is what I would say is a good word here, friends, on America Out Loud. So we invite you there again to catch all of that. So much going on in the network. People say to me every day, friends, how do you do it? How do you keep up with all this? And frankly, I don't have an answer for them. More nozzle in just a moment.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
All right, so the NFL, I want to turn the page just a moment on page two here of the show. And, I just don't know what took them so long. Why did they wait a couple of years? And I mean, because I think the big question I ask a lot of our friends and people out there is, do you take them back into your family? In other words, would you buy season tickets again? Or would you go to a game? Or would you watch a game? Would you support the NFL? And the people and the feedback I get so far is they're all saying no. They're so disgusted. What do you think, guys?
We're done. Absolutely.
We're done.
Well is poison. You know, in these 2 years, like you just said, they had so many opportunities to heal this rift.
Yeah.
But it seemed at every point, not only do they not heal it, they aggravate it in some way. You know, they allow these players to make these statements, often in the guise of politics, but they're invariably anti one group or the other. And the inconsistencies that Goodall, frankly, the whole group has shown terrible inconsistencies in where they stand on anything. And they haven't stood up for the flag. And that's why these pseudo patriotic pregame events are always marred by the fact that that a group on that sideline of millionaires hates America. And I'm not going back.
No, and they don't. I don't think they really even know what they're protesting. And now they're talking about, well, now we're going to come up with different ways of protesting. Protesting what? We want justice. We want this. This all started when the NFL, three Super Bowls ago, invited cop-hating Beyonce to do the halftime show
right.
when she had just come out with a very anti-law enforcement song, and it just ramped up from there. And I don't care what they do, unless they make a 190 degree change mm-hmm. in the way they act. I'm done with it. I'll watch college football or no football
exactly.
at all.
Well, a lot of people have said to me they've actually found more time on their weekends to do other things now. Really.
That's right.
Told me.
Boy, yeah. You're right.
That's what they've said.
And college sports has become it's much more enjoyable for Betsy and I to spend a Saturday afternoon watching college football than to spend a Sunday watching NFL.
Do you know if their attendance went up, Dave? Their attendance must have increased in college football, did it? I wonder.
I know that their viewership skyrocketed.
Yeah.
I'm not sure about
viewership. Yeah, the viewership did.
Their Nielsen numbers went way up.
Really? Wow.
Oh, yeah.
So that's what a lot of people did, right? We like football, so we went there, right? That's what they did?
Right.
Wow.
Well, exactly. And Malcolm, one of the points that Betsy made that I kind of left out is that this whole impetus of this kneeling is an anti-law enforcement. It started the Rams right after Ferguson, the four Rams ran out with their hands up, don't shoot mythology.
That's right.
And it's never died down, that constant antipathy toward law enforcement, the law enforcement community. And again, you see this to this day. Now you got an NBA player, same kind of problems. And never does the leadership of law enforcement fail to act properly, but then the media itself aggravates this.
One of the things President Trump just had was a summit on prison reform and sentencing reform. And yet, what did Jay-Z, Beyonce's husband, do? Called up one of his rappers who was going to participate and said, don't you do it. Don't you participate in anything with Trump. So they don't. This is what, and I think
who made the call? Who made the call, Betsy?
Jay-Z called a rapper, I think his name was Meeks, and he was going to be a part of this summit
right.
on prison reform. Isn't that what they're always talking about? And
right.
that's what the NFL players talk about. We want justice. We want this. Trump's trying to have actual conversations about this, but Jay-Z put a stop to it, because what's happening now is that, the people are getting off the plantation. There's too many black conservatives now. And so that means people like, Jay-Z and his ilk are going to lose power because, now all of a sudden, oh my gosh, people are realizing they were lied to. Barack Obama lied to him. Eric Holder lied to him.
Through the stories here that Obama had actually told the rappers not to participate with Trump.
Oh, I didn't hear that, but I believe it. But Jay-Z did as well.
Yeah.
And how unfortunate is that, where here's somebody trying to do something, and that's all Trump has done, is tried to help the African-American community.
Well, Trump does, Betsy? What he does, and it's the CEO in him. And I totally understand this because I was a CEO for 2.5 decades. So I understand this brain set. He sees a problem, he wants to fix it.
Yeah. Wow. What a concept.
Exactly.
That's what it is. So Roger Goodell, who I am not a fan of, that commissioner, I think he is a total piece of trash. And he just signed a big – they just gave him a ton more money this past year.
Yeah.
And they should have cut him loose as well, because he has not done the NFL any favors, quite frankly, at all. But he goes on to say, we want people to be respectful of the national anthem. All of this could have been easily fixed. All of this could have been handled. Everything could have been. Roger Goodell he's evidence envelope number one for the problem here of what happened. There's another footnote here I want to tell you all, too, as well, that they just earlier this week, by the way, the league finalized an $89 million social justice platform with the players.
Right.
Now, remember, they talked about this some months ago, guys, some months about social justice platform. So they just finalized $89 million to address some of the underlying issues, is what they're calling them, that were under protest. But again, the bottom line with this, yes, you have the right to speak, freedom of speech, absolutely. Yes, you have the right to freedom of expression. That is correct. You just don't have to do it if I'm dropping my money and you're holding me hostage to watch you as a buffoon do what you want to do by kneeling with the time that they're playing a flag from a country that I happen to love and adore, and a flag that people have sacrificed and bled all over. And no, you don't have the right to be disrespectful at the moment. You can protest many other ways. But be patriotic for that. What does it take? 2 minutes to be patriotic? And then if you want to be a buffoon or a jackass, go do it on your watch. And then again, on the other hand, if you want some real social justice or you want to help the urban cities, stop electing the liberal nut jobs in the urban cities that are making the urban cities corrupt.
Exactly.
Well, yeah, I'd like to know what their initiatives are. Are these players going to the schools to talk to kids about staying in school? Are they doing scholarships? What are they doing? Are we just going to cry about, oh, the police are mean and America's bad and slavery, slavery, slavery? Or are we going to talk about substantive issues? And I'm going to guess we're not.
That's it. You're right. They haven't been talking about it. Well, some of the feedback to wrap this one up in a tight package for y'all folks. The Cleveland Browns quarterback Tyrod Taylor comes out. He says, to make a decision that strong, you would hope that the players have input on it. But obviously not, he says. So we have to deal with it as players for good or a bad. You know, and I will tell you both something too, Betsy, Dave. You know some of the players are going to still try to kneel, don't you, when the game starts? You know
it's
going to
happen.
You know the cameras are going to be there. You know it's going to be a big hullabaloo. You know that because the media is going to make this into a big show, right? Right?
Well, there was already one of the owners who said, well, if my guys violate the rules, I'll just go ahead and pay the fine.
He said that? Which team was that? Do you recall offhand?
You know what? I would have to do a little research.
What a buffoon.
You know, because it's a 15-yard penalty or a fine. And,
that's
and I
all
think
it
some
is?
Of the, you know, yeah, oh yeah, it's not that big of a deal.
I see.
So, you're going to see guys, you know, this is how they're going to get attention. This is how, you know, but the bottom line is what? Colin Kaepernick's still out of a job. So I don't think this is going to help him at all.
Yeah, who would want
him? If they'd have taken control of this when this whole thing started, like Dave said,
absolutely.
You know, this is a great example of a complete lack of a leadership, and I don't think the American people are going to buy it.
Catch-all. Yeah, that's the big question. I don't know. Minnesota Vikings coach Mike Zimmer. Now he comes out, and this was pretty good, guys. He said, "I was proud of my team last year. They stood for the anthem. I think it's important that we stand for the anthem." He says, "I think it's important that we represent our country the right way, the flag the right way. I probably shouldn't get on a tangent, right? But a lot of people have died for that flag, and that flag represents our country and what we stand for. I think that's important." I'll stop there, he says. You know, he was going to go down a road there. You could see that coach was headed somewhere, you know.
And how sad that he has to almost apologize for being patriotic. How sad.
Well, it is sad. That's the big thing. And one last thing I want to read you here. There's a lot of different ones. This Malcolm Jenkins, no relation of yours truly here. But he comes out and says what he says in a tweet here. What NFL owners did today was thwart the players' constitutional rights to express themselves and use our platform to draw attention to social injustices like racial inequality in our country. Everyone loses when voices get stifled. When I disagree with this decision, while I do, I will not let it silence me or stop me from fighting. The national conversation around race in America that the NFL players forced over the past 2 years will persist as we continue to use our voices, our time, and our money to create a more fair and just criminal justice system, end police brutality, and foster better education, economic opportunities for communities of color and those struggling in this country. Blah, 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 blah. There it is.
Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, so.
Exactly.
There's more. But
and it was the owner of the New York Jets, by the way, who's going to just pay the fine.
Wow.
So,
well, see, that boycott the New York Jets people, right?
Yeah, so I'm not watching any of them.
Well,
even,
that's
not
it.
Even my beloved Chicago Bears, who did stand, but I'm done.
That even
well, I got to tell you. Wow. You hit it, Malcolm. This is the 1.3 million Americans have died fighting for this country. And we, if you can't stand for, especially that's on Memorial Weekend, this should be remembered so powerfully. But instead, we're talking about whether these millionaire athletes have a right to stand when they're on the job, or right to kneel, I mean, when they're on the job. No. And this is, don't conflate your right of civil protest and all this with your obligations to work. And then again, this is very frustrating. This is one of the reasons I won't be watching the NFL next year or this fall as well.
Yeah, and it is. It's we do it out of conviction. We do it because we're principle-driven people, Dave. I mean, listen, there are many times I wanted to turn a game on, buddy, but I would not do it. I could not do it, Dave. Right. I couldn't put myself up to do it, buddy, you know?
No, it's snack food in our lives, Malcolm. It's all it is. It's snack food. The meat and potatoes is the American, the men and women who keep this country free and what you believe. Amen. And just watching sports, that's just some snack food on the side.
Yeah, no, that's a great way to put it, buddy. I never heard that, but I like that. Listen, before I talk about Morgan Freeman and in that, I want to talk to you about the animals of MS-13 and the meeting he had up on Long Island and all that the president had. Now, the president came out and called it as he sees it, which is what this president does. And she came out, and what's the word she used? Divinity or something she called it or something or whatever? What was it, divinity?
It's like the divine spark or something. People,
spark of divinity, I think it's what it was. So what do you think? Now I think what I tried to make the connection with in the last few days to people is to remind them that MS-13, these vicious gangs, and there's about 10,000 of them in our country. There's a couple thousand on Long Island itself. It's kind of central to this conversation. They seem to have all kind of gathered up there. What they're doing is they're forcing their younger siblings and friends and other people and other ethnic groups in that family, they're forcing them to get in, or they'll kill them or beat their relatives and do, I mean, and the crimes they've done, I mean, they're pulling body parts, they're pulling hearts out of people. They're doing very sadistic sort of activity. I mean, really bad stuff. I mean, this is Satanist stuff. This isn't just a casual gunshot to the head and you're dead, which is bad enough. This is Satanist stuff. This is stuff that they're doing with rituals and really evil minds. So these people, these kids, these thugs, these killers, these Satanists, they come from El Salvador down in Central America area, and they're all getting up here through, guess what, immigration. Guess what, illegal immigration. Guess what, a campaign that the people voted for a new president for to fix it. And guess what, a problem that everybody is still giving them hell for. And guess what, we still got no damn wall. And guess what, it's a problem, people. So I think a lot of this conversation is removed from the MS-13 gangs. I don't think a lot of, I'm not hearing much media connect that back to the real problem of immigration we're having. But that problem wouldn't even be here, guys, if it wasn't for the immigration problem.
Right. Had Reagan not made the deal on that, and that's part of the problem. If we'd have gotten the wall, Reagan made the deal in the 80s to have a wall built in exchange for amnesty. It never got built. And here we have this problem today. These literally a decade and a half of lax immigration laws. And what's happened is the courts themselves have adopted this very lax attitude. So now you have these criminal gangs, and because they're foreigners, they're Latinos, there's a wink and a nod, and this has become ridiculous. And you try to stigmatize it, and all of a sudden, I call a guy an SOB, suddenly they're talking about his mother. No, I stigmatized him with a vulgarity. It has nothing to do with his mother. I call a guy an animal. We're not talking about animals. I'm talking, it's a reflective metaphor about what a dirtbag this guy is. And if when you describe those MS-13 atrocities, you're describing animalistic behavior. Let's call them animals.
Everybody said the animals are better behaved, Dave. They said they're better behaved. It's what I keep hearing. People correct me. Say animals is too kind, you know?
Right. And you have these liberals jumping backwards through their logic hoops to try to create it.
I don't see where they're going with language. This one. I don't see
our language. You and me talking isn't the problem, Malcolm. Mm-hmm. And the problem is what's happening on the street. But they're busy parsing the words we use. If I call MS-13 an asshole, expect an article tomorrow saying how I'm bad-mouthed anuses. What the heck is this going on? Vulgarity is a meaning to stigmatize, and that's why I use it. You try to taboo all my words, it still isn't going to change my attitude, and I'm going to keep talking about it.
Yeah, well, it's PC is alive and well for sure.
Oh, man.
The ACLU came out and said that they said Trump is, and many other groups, by the way, but there's a reason Trump is doubling down on this rhetoric, they said. He is using the fear of MS-13 to justify policies which hurt all immigrants. See, there's a philosophical problem of immigration in this country, which we continue to address on America Out Loud, and it's a continuing problem. There's just, it's the ideology is off. One group wants, they just believe there is no country. We're sort of just a floating land and never, never land. And there's no borders, no nothing. People just come in and leave or go at their will. So there, with that idea and concept, you have a lawless environment, you see. Mm-hmm. You have nothing. There is no rule of law. You have nothing left, you see. And so that's, we've got this fight for the you know, what really is... What's the heart of the country? Where's what do we want to be when we grow up? You know, America's still a very young country, actually, you know, compared to countries. And so,
very young.
Yeah, I really asked the question. I think America needs to ask themselves at this point, guys. What do they want to be when they grow up? I mean, are we going to be a real country? Do we protect ourselves and not let these... because, you know, these gangs are one thing. If that isn't enough of a problem for you, then you've got terrorists coming in here as well. If that isn't enough of a problem, you've got an economic collapse that is happening in the country, and we can't sustain what's happening here. And so you've got a lot of problems as to why immigration is a hot button. I reported yesterday there's a lot of talk about bringing that up before the midterm election. But, you know, Paul Ryan is having a lot of troubles right now. A lot of people are predicting he's not going to... be able to remain in that speaker seat.
No.
Through, because he kind of, right, you agree he's not going to be able to hold it together, huh, Dave?
I agree with you. You just made a very powerful couple paragraphs where you're describing the fact that this truly is a culture war between these utopian dreamers and their unrealistic expectations of the rest of the universe around us and their negative expectations for America itself. And those of us who believe in the American dream, American exceptionalism, and the rule of law, not procedural justice, which has become dominant in our law schools. Americans need to listen to that word. When you hear procedural justice, it's just like Malcolm said. It's there is no justice at all. It's a floating kind of a weird belief.
Well, we got nothing. We got nothing.
We got nothing.
Nothing
no,
at all.
It's a procedure. Justice, Lady Justice, will look out from underneath her little blind to see who you are, what color you are, what economic background you come, what sex you are, what's your orientation. Then she'll decide what's right. So you guys, Americans, need to pay attention to what you just said.
You know, Lady Justice was blown up a long time ago. You know, I got to tell you, she don't even exist. Really, sadly, Dave, she doesn't even exist anymore because and she was killed by the politicians. They killed
absolutely.
Her a long
they
time
crushed
ago,
her. And Paul Ryan is not the man on the white horse we need.
Oh man,
and you're right. He needs to go.
We need to remember that their motto. It's mata, viola, controla, which means kill, rape, control. And they tend to pick on young girls, or people younger and weaker than them, older people. These are the worst of the worst. I was a cop in the Chicago area, and our gangs were bad. These guys are 100 times worse. And we have allowed them to infiltrate this country, and then they've got their little pocket on the east, but they're everywhere else. Remember, we're down here in Arizona, where we've got plenty of MS-13, but because of Trump derangement syndrome, they have become some sort of victim of the president of the United States. Oh, how dare you call him animals? I find that insulting to animals, I people are insane, but you know what? I'm happy about this. Let's be upset because this just shows that the Democrat Party, the liberals, who are they for? Anybody Trump is against. So now the platform of the Democrat Party is what? MS-13, you guys go, boy. We're with you. I think this just helps us in the elections.
Well, it's all showing. It's shown a bad poker hand is what it's doing, Betsy. It's a very bad poker hand at this point because the evidence is very clear. I mean, you're starting to see it stack up here. I mean, when you're trying to defend things like this and you're the minority leader of your party and you're trying to use the spark of divinity comments and things like that, you got some real problems then, you know? And of course, this understand, people, this has got a lot less to do with just a gang. Of course, this is no casual gang, but even if it was, this has got really less to do with any gang. It has less to do with any of this. This has to do with what kind of country do you want? You really got to bring it back to the ideologies that we're trying to fight for here. There's a fight in America. America right now, friends. There's a fight. And that fight is on the front streets every day. That fight for the salvation and the future of this country is alive and well and exists. And that fight is really this. It's why you started to see and hear a lot of these comments about Make America Great Again. The MAGA people, they're called, of course. See, those are the people that were, how do I say to you, they might have been sleeping for a little while. Maybe they were caught off guard through the Obama years I'm talking about, and really through the Bush years as well, because he was no fairy tale mother either, let me tell you. But you could bring it back through the whole Bush years and the Obama. In fact, you could take the Bush, the Obama, the Clinton, and the Bush years. You can meld those all together, and you'd have a hard time finding one from the next because they were all very crippling for the country as far as I can see. So we've been going down to hell in a handbag for a while now. Since we buried Reagan, we've been going down to really in a bad place here. And in a lot of these elections, we're getting the wrong cats in there. We're doing the wrong things. So the fight for the salvation. So a lot of people were sleeping, you see. And then what happened is, see, Obama was like the nuclear bomb that went off in the Oval Office. And it was just an explosion of nonsense, you know, and everything he did. It was unbelievable. Mm-hmm. And that woke everybody up from their sound sleep, you see. And that's where the whole Make America Great Again, people started to say, hey, we're losing this thing, man. Yeah, hell, we're losing this thing. What does that mean? Well, we're not going to have a country left. Well, no kidding, we're not going to have a country left. We're selling out here. There's not much left. Why? Why do you say that? Come on, people. Why do I say that? That they're slashing military budgets. Our military is looking crappy. We don't have the money to support the men and women out there on the front lines around the world. We look like crazy people around the world. I mean, you start to do the math, and then you... Anyways, don't get me started, people, because I'll tell you a lot more to that program. Huh?
I got to take one issue with you, Malcolm. Sure. During the Obama years, we were not asleep. We were quite woke, but we were told to shut up. And we were told we were racist, and we were told we don't have an opinion on this. That's why MAGA came back so strong when Donald Trump came down that escalator and said, I'm going to run for president, because we were tired of being told we were racist, sexist, homophobes.
All right. So they weren't sleeping, but they were not being wide awake either. They weren't. In fact,
told to shut up. Here's the problem. That's that old metaphor of you want to boil a frog slowly. You slowly turn up the heat. Well, the problem was America's heat got turned up a little too quick during the Obama administration.
Yeah, totally.
And the frog woke up. And you're right. They started boiling the water too quick, and they were burning us all. And people started saying, wait, these aren't American ideas. These are socialist ideas. Wait, this isn't how you treat people. This is actually a reverse racism, which is – if racism is bad on its face, then it's bad. You can't just start taking racist values and then flip them over and say it's okay to use against someone else. And if you want to solve social problems, you can't stifle debate by those of us that don't agree with your solution stigmatizing us as evil, racist, homophobic, misogynistic, yada, yada, whatever it is.
You forgot xenophobe, bud. You forgot xenophobe.
Oh, that's exactly. anti-immigrant. Wait, I'm anti-illegal immigrant. And that's a whole different ballgame. But even then, remember, you weren't allowed to call people illegal.
Well, there was this whole PC clash. Yeah, the culture was. I know it was. It was bad. But
all this comes out of that left-wing university. You're right. And it's all from you had the linguistics departments where all these theories were percolated, and it's ruling our law.
Yeah. I mean, it is. I mean, listen, people, it's not real complicated, really. The rule of law, I mean, again, what do we want for a country? What are we looking for ahead here? Friends, we got to get to page 3 quickly. More nozzle in just a moment here. The goal is to deliver a message of truth, inspiration, and hope to the world, to unite people from all backgrounds and beliefs in an effort to advance humanity. News blogs, informative podcasts, and entertaining videos. It's AmericaOutloud.com, where the conversation never ends. With 24/7 streaming on our free apps on both Android and Apple. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Uh,
Well, we're talking about passionate stuff here. You know, patriots get passionate, I have to tell you. We're passionate people, and that's what it is. That's what this whole thing is about. It's passion. So, listen, I want to talk to you about, I'll tell you, my jaw about dropped here today, guys, and I don't know what you all think, but I was really sad to see these reports coming out about Morgan Freeman. Now, my kids happen to love Morgan Freeman movies. They think he's a rock star when it comes to actors. In fact, my daughter, I don't even know what she says, you're my daughter, but my son came to me and said, well, Dad, he said, did you see the reports on Morgan Freeman? Because they always had this ongoing thing about Morgan Freeman movies. They always liked, they enjoyed them, you know. Did you see this thing about Morgan Freeman? I said, yeah, I seen it, bud. I seen it. I know. You don't even know what to say to them anymore. Betsy, what do you think?
I'm crushed because...
You too.
One of my favorite movies is Bruce Almighty. And yeah. it's him and... I can't even think of the guy's name. He who's totally gone off the rails. A comedian. I love Carrey. That movie. Jim Carrey. You know, he's yeah. another one. He's just completely gone off the rails.
Gone off the rails. So, yeah. Well, so he's driving Miss Daisy. The Shawshank Redemption. Million Dollar Baby.
Shawshank is another one of my top 10 movies. But when Morgan Freeman again started talking and telling us, you know, that we were bad and we were racist and the guy we elected's a bad guy, Trump and all that. And don't forget, remember, he narrated the life story of Hillary Clinton at the DNC, if you recall. When he loaned his voice to that, I thought, oh, well, I don't think I'm a big fan anymore. So once again, now we've got a guy, big fan of Hillary, a guy who's talking about, yeah, women need to be in charge and Bill Cosby's bad and all that. Now we find out he's a pervert, too. I'm starting to think all of Hollywood.
Well, I
think, you know, just a bunch of...
At this point, we may want to do inventory and find out who's safe, not who's not safe. Who's safe? That's going to be a smaller list, yeah. guys, no?
But I think right, that's the culture of Hollywood is that women are there, you know, for their looks and their bodies and all that. And I think it's just been ignored until lately.
Yeah.
The problem I have with this whole thing is that there's no sense of relative offense. Once you commit some sort of offense, right. it's immediate death penalty to your career. Well, when I'm reading these things, he appears to be quite a cad, but he doesn't appear to be a rapist. He doesn't appear
right.
to be a sexual
I was
assaulter.
Wondering the same thing, Dave.
There's got to be a sense of what is the true, what's the appropriate penalty for the crime, and what is the crime? Is it upsetting right. women, or right. is it assaulting women? And this is the problem, is that we've now created it's almost a hysteria. Wait, what did he do? Well, he leered at me. Well, he's a dirty old man. Yes, he is a dirty old man.
Well, they'd have to lock up most of the country for that crime.
Exactly. Are we going to, you know, you put him, you know, in the stocks in the public square and throw eggs, or do you fire him? What do you do? You know,
yeah. But understand that remember the mother, one of the mothers of the Me Too movement, Ashley Judd, right. lost her mind last year when somebody called her honey at an airport. This is, I love when the left goes after their own because remember they set the tone where if you leered at somebody or you physically raped and beat them, it was all the same. And women right. were the victims of all that. So whatever, you know, Morgan Freeman, you're gone. On to the next.
Wow.
And because this is the way the left wants it. So let Hollywood implode and let's move on with our lives. They can go where the NFL went. You know,
yeah,
we're
well,
done with
maybe. It may be. I think a lot of people are seeing less movies as well. Again, the box office numbers are well down as well. You know, the box
right.
office, yeah, there's a way down. A lot of us, and there's a lot of problems with movies these days. I mean, it's hard. It's the violence is way over the top, as far as I can see anyways. But the reports here on this, by the way, this story, back to what you were saying, the left eating their own just a moment ago, you were saying that, Betsy, the story was all came from from CNN, actually. This was a report and investigation that they did, quite frankly, and is where this is coming from. So in eight women, they interviewed 16 people now, evidently. Eight women have formally accused Morgan Freeman of the sexual misconduct is the official charge. Back to what you were saying a moment ago, Dave, you know. And then there were eight witnesses to the account that they also spoke with regarding these victims and what have you. And you're right. I've read through some of the charges and what have you, or the claims or accusations, if you will. And they were sort of like, oh, he was like trying to lift up my skirt, or he was looking at me, or I don't know, weird kind of stuff. I couldn't really tell. I didn't hear anything about him slipping pills into people's drinks and physically raping them. I haven't heard those.
No. It's all inappropriate workplace behavior. It's all, here's a guy, he's very powerful, he's very famous, he owns his own production company, and most of this was happening at his own production company, right, which does not have an HR department that you can go to.
Right.
I'll be curious to find out how CNN actually got onto this, and I'm a little stunned that CNN actually did investigative reporting.
I know, but
remember, their ratings are down 25%.
Well, so. But it's interesting, Betsy, just to get that glimmer that they are doing some investigative reporting, that they had this story out there. Did remind me that, yeah, I know, because you don't see that anymore coming from these outlets. They don't even have time for this kind of stuff anymore. There's so much on the hate Trump train going. Mm-hmm. Anyways, well, listen, in our last time here, I want to talk to you about something special. I'd like to talk to you guys about, both you, Dave, Betsy, and all of our listeners here a moment here. And so we did a show the other day I need to tell everybody about. It was about school shootings. And we've addressed school shootings on this platform in many different ways. It's a passionate topic to me, and I just see us not fixing the problem. And I keep saying we can't keep doing the same things and not expect that, you know, we're going to ever fix this problem. We have to do something different. I think we have to harden our schools, people. I think right. It's time to take this seriously. If we're going to take, you know, other things seriously in life, then we need to take our kids seriously and protect them. So we did a special show here that is playing today. It played just before this show. If you didn't hear, at 5 p.m., since we're at 6 o'clock here in the 6 o'clock hour on America Out Loud Talk Radio, at 5 o'clock, just before this show, was the show today. And it's entitled The Short and Long-Term Fixes to School Shootings. But here's the key. You can catch it again this evening at 11 p.m. We have an encore version of this, 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time now. But you can hear it anywhere in the world. Just you can go to iHeartRadio or go to any of our apps or the player, or we're on like 50 different radio networks. You'll catch us. But just catch the you got to listen to the show. It's a very passionate show. We have the four women and yours truly here. We have two from season one, two from season two. Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Pleasure is a phenomenal show and a great cast of wonderful people. And so this one here gets very passionate. It gets very heated. I get a little hot in this show here because of that passion. And I want to share with you. Early this morning, I was at my son, who is 15 now, and I was at his school graduation. He's graduating from middle school to high school. So you know how they do it with 8th grade to 9th. They do a little pageantry and what have you. Right, guys? You know? And so I was doing that. He's in a charter school now. Now, he's basically was always in a private school before this. He was in a Christian school. But he's in a charter school now. This is the first year. And so we were in the gymnasium and watching the festivities of the election and the graduation, rather, and what have you. And it's very nice. And I see all the people. It's beautiful. It was nice to see it all. It's refreshing to see the kids and see what's going on in the schools. And, you know, but I started to think a little bit. I had a fear that what if somebody came in right then and started shooting? I mean, you'd have so many victims in that school, the gymnasium. I mean, it's wide open. I mean, and the carnage would be unbelievable. And I say that because that's where we've gotten to in this country now, sadly, because we're not taking it seriously enough. Now, in this particular school, being a charter school, they have a one entrance to get in, and it's all windows. And typically, you know, it looks like they got their security together. I say that. You really never know people. There are a lot more things they got to do there. And I can get into that list. We don't have time for it now. But you listen to the other show, and we'll talk some more, of course, on this. But the point is, they open up the back door and they let all the parents come in through the back door with no supervision whatsoever. And I thought, oh my golly, is that not an invitation for a problem? You see what I mean? You know? Right. So the back door of the school was open and you could just walk into the gymnasium. You see where I'm at, Dave? You know? And,
absolutely.
And then, yeah, and then you're into this thing with all these kids and parents, and you know, you could have had somebody, again, having a bad day in a wrong way, and somebody that's got many screws loose and decides they're going to go out and in what they think is their glory. Again, listen, there's a lot to this story, but I just, you know.
Man, serious problem. And you hit it right on the head. I think nowadays you walk into any school, your first question is, what have we done to protect the children?
Exactly,
and,
exactly.
You know, and as Colonel Dave Grossman says, you know, we don't see youth being burned up in schools anymore. We had some horrible school fires, so we put our heads together, and schools cannot burn. Literally everything.
We got to harden our schools, Dave. We cannot do this.
And that's
buddy.
What we need to do. The same way we dealt with fires in schools, we
absolutely
need to deal with firefights.
I'm telling you now, we need armed officers at all the schools, not
exactly
just one,
right.
Not just one, Dave, for a 3,000 student school. That's ridiculous. Okay.
Right.
We need armed officers at all schools. I said the president should call the national task force number one immediately. This is a crisis in our country. It's a catastrophe. That's what we got, a 9/11 in our school systems, people. It's time to handle it accordingly. National task force immediately. I think it's time to have radar detectors, metal detectors at all the schools. You got, just like you go to the airport, kids, you're going to school. Sorry, it's the new world. It's gotta be. Gotta go through the detector to get in. You got to have armed guards there. Need to start to protect, and you got to stop. The media has got to stop glorifying these killers. Don't put their pictures
exactly
and their names
right
all over the place. Stop it. You don't
right
find them at America Out Loud. I don't run terrorists. I don't run people. I'm not interested in their faces. I don't want to look at those people. And friends, I don't want you to have to see those people when you come to our platform. I want our platform to be the kind of place you can come, take your shoes off, hang around a while, have a glass of wine, coffee, do what you got to do, and enjoy yourself. Not to be horrified with all these evil-minded people and their killer eyes, as cold as blood and Satanist attitude and all these things and pictures. That's what's happened with the world. The media has exposed all this, and it's what everybody he's watching and listening. And then the next killer sees this, and the next kid sees this, and then he thinks he's going to go out with the glory. Why? Because he might have been bullied, because maybe he's been ignored. He's got problems, obviously. Anyways, the story goes on and on and on. And friends, I'm sick of it. I'm totally sick of it. And I'm sick of the adults in the room not doing anything about it. Not a damn thing.
No.
They just sit there
exactly
and talk with empty talk, and they do nothing. It's time to fix it. Again, listen to the show, The Short and Long-Term Fixes to School Shootings on the Life Liberty Show. You'll enjoy it. You'll like it so much you'll want to listen to more shows. It's a really phenomenal show. Sergeant Betsy Smith, who's on this show right now, is one of the co-hosts for that show. It's amazing. It's an amazing conversation with 10 women around the globe and myself. And we take on all the various topics and subjects on a daily basis. The season finale, by the way, is this Tuesday and Wednesday, the 29th and 30th for season 2. So we invite you to listen to that, friends. Again, thank you always. And we're Viewpoint this Sunday is another thing that you want to listen into. It's a great program every Sunday. It's our number one rated show on the platform, by the way. We got to do predictions quick because I am overtime, kids, but I had to say that. Dave, let's get your prediction out there, buddy. What is it?
Well, my prediction is you're going to see Trump meeting with Kim Jong-un pretty quick. I think it's going to go down on the date that they've planned.
Wow.
I just think you're just seeing him play a great chess game.
All right. Interesting. Sergeant Betsy, your prediction, please.
I predict that you're not going to see the NFL numbers budge upward one bit, and you may even see them go down. People are tired of it.
Wow. Yeah. Friends, thank you for indulging me here today with this. And we'll stay at it right here. Thank you again. We'll see you again tomorrow, same time, same place, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Nazzle love.